I'm always wrestling with never-ending to-do lists. Thankfully, I came across Llama Life, a productivity tool that helps me smash my tasks. I use Llama Life to create lists and time box actions like emails and creating presentations. It's amazing how long you actually stay in your inbox. If you want a new approach with your never-ending to-do list, jump onto Llama Life. Use the code ThriveLlama20 to receive 20% off the Extra Focus membership. You can find further details in the episode description. Llama Life also has a free version, which people can start using straight away. You can even try the premium features for 7 days, a whole week. Think how much you will get done, and who doesn't like something for free? Check it out and get your llama on. I have a monkey mind, which means I get distracted and lose my thoughts easily. So I'd like to talk to you about Notion, a productivity software that allows you to track projects and other cool stuff. I've been using Notion for about a year now and have loved the freedom it gives me in my business. I'm a proud Notion affiliate as it is my one-stop shop for the back end of my business and my brain when I'm not using my brain. Does that make sense? I didn't think so. See what I mean by a monkey mind? I use Notion as a database and a way to track my programs, clients, and projects. If you're looking for a digital tool for your team, personal use, or business, you can check it out on our affiliate link in the episode description. Start today and get organized for tomorrow. Arrive and Thrive would like to begin by first acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land of which we recorded this podcast and extend our respect to elders, past, present, and emerging. Rob.
Tyson.
Welcome to the Arrive and Thrive Career Podcast. How you doing?
Good, mate. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me here in my office in Mornington, the way from Cairns.
Yeah, it's a little bit fresh down here. I had to dig out the winter woolies and, you know, long pants and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good. Thank you so much.
It is cold, man. Like, what did we have this morning? It was like 5 degrees or something?
Yeah. It's pretty fresh when I was hunting for a croissant and a coffee this morning in Collingwood at 6:30 this morning.
Yeah. So. And, mate, what brings you down from Cairns today?
This week?
As
you know, I'm from Study Work Grow, so we do career education resources for high schools all over Australia. And a number of the careers advisors forums, reach out to us to say, hey, can you come speak at our forum? We need someone, you know, interesting and engaging that isn't a university or some sort of RTO, what have you. And the Peninsula Group invited me down today. So, and since you're down on the Peninsula, it's a perfect opportunity to pop in and say good day. So, meaning to you for ages. So, it's nice to actually sit across the table from you rather than via Zoom.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. So, mate, how rude of me. Can you please introduce, you know, what you do at Study Work Grow and, you know, what the message is, because I'm sure our listeners would love to know.
Yeah, for sure. So, great opportunity to pitch, right? No. So Study Work Grow, we provide researched career education resources for high schools all over Australia. So primarily a lot of the things we do are focused on either the careers advisor in school, saving them time, or the students themselves in giving them guides and engaging materials, news, events, that sort of thing for them to go on, you know, follow up with and engage with. Because as you know, careers advisors in schools are often so overwhelmed with programs and administrative tasks and emails and just the rest of it. And for them to actually provide value to their students, it's really, really hard for them to get enough time to put that sort of stuff together. So rather than them trying to figure out Canva and wasting a whole weekends putting together a, you know, entry to medicine guide, we do a beautiful one where we reach out to all the universities right across Australia and get their information every year. So for that one guide, it means that they can download it, they know it's beautiful, they can frisbee it to students with all the right information in it, and they've just got weekends back. But it didn't start there. Like, we started back in 2006, now a long time ago, and that originally started with a researched Word doc newsletter. So, because most careers advisors send out news to their students every week or every fortnight, we believe in reducing duplicated effort. So that's what we started with a long, long time ago. There's still one of our most popular services.
Wow.
Yeah, but today it's not just New South Wales like it was originally. We're Australia-wide, so every Monday morning at 8 a.m., a career advisor can get in, have a quick scroll through their newsletter over a coffee or a tea or a glass of water, whatever they do. Hopefully not a glass of wine at that time in the morning. And basically, you know...
During exam time.
Yeah, during exam time. I can't understand your scotch. Yeah, so like we do an 8 to 10 page researched Word doc newsletter for every single state and territory every single week of the school year. And just like I said, in 10 minutes, they can have a quick scroll through while they're, you know, having a coffee and know everything their students need to know and their parents need to know for this week, next week, weeks in the weeks ahead.
Yeah.
So across apprenticeships, traineeships, scholarships, like the whole lot, university entrance dates, application dates, the whole lot.
Yeah. So. I love that because as a careers counselor and having worked in a school before and then with Arrive and Thrive, our audience is career counselors as well, careers advisors. It's just this dynamic of trying to service all of these students as best as we can with the limited time that we've got. So when I came across Study Work Grow, I was like, thank God someone started this because now it's freeing up their time to be able to not only give accurate information, attractive information because we know how much young people
It has to be visual and engaging. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
And also stuff that frees up the time of the careers counsellor to be able to plug back into that, the importance of those one-on-one conversations and those incidental conversations that are just vital.
Yeah. I mean, you would know, Tyson, from your own experience, careers advisors, if you can even find them on the school website, most careers advisors will be nodding right now. They're listening to this. They're listed down near, you know, the gardeners or the janitor at school or whatever. Not to say that they're not great careers or important roles within the school, and not by any means. But often you can't even find the careers advisor on a school website. But the whole point of high school is to prepare kids for what comes next. Yet the careers advisor is valued so lowly and doesn't get any allocated time in most schools. I'm not just pushing the Study Work Grow bandwagon, you know, but this is reality across all the schools we talk with. I see it every day. And if we can make a difference to even to one school, that difference we're making to that one careers advisor has an impact across 100 kids, 200 kids, 1,500 kids, depending on the size of the school, right? Which is huge.
Yep.
And when you think in terms of even just a handful or 20 or 50 of those kids making, and I say kids, students, making better decisions about what comes next can save, you know, things like wasted hex or 10 years down a career path they hate or, you name it, right? I'm speaking of the converted here. So, you know, if we can make just that little bit of difference, then it's all worth it for what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So, mate, take us back to, like, your own career journey. So, you know, careers education quite often we don't necessarily come out of high school going, I want to be a careers educator.
Yeah.
You know, what's it been like for you jumping into this industry and how did it all begin for you?
Yeah, cool. Great question. Firstly, I'll say that if I was going to start a career education business, it probably wouldn't be in career education. No, the Study Work Grow, like I'm very blessed. It's a family business, so and I'm the ring in here. So so Lucy, I'm sure you'll get on the podcast.
Yes, we're gonna do a part two.
You have to get Lucy on. Yep, she's the superstar. She's the one you really need to be interviewing. So the working in a social enterprise and making things affordable for schools, and then working with career practitioners who we've already covered aren't necessarily valued as well as they certainly should be at school. It makes for a challenging business to run. I can tell you that much. Yeah, but you know, with the work we're doing, we're getting constant referrals. We're in 550 paid high schools across Australia. Like Christmas Island have been subscribing to us for 13 years.
That's so cool.
They're closer to Indonesia than they are to the WA coast.
Yep.
And they've been a subscriber that long. So anyway, it's quite a slight segue there about Study Work Grow. My career, stepping back to high school, I studied physics, chem, maths B, maths C, English literature. Geography was my blood subject, as I called it, my relaxation subject at high school in year 11 and 12.
It's still a term students use, don't
I? I love it, though. I love it. It was my blood subject. I had to have one. And I went and did civil engineering for 2 years because everyone said, oh, you're so great at maths and science and stuff. You should do civil engineering. And I spent 2 years studying civil engineering. I had a great time at uni. It was USQ in Toowoomba. It was awesome. Hey, uni SQ. alumni here, and had a fantastic time, but it just wasn't for me. I was looking at what civil engineers do every day, and I'm like, yeah, no, no. And I took a year off, and I deferred. I was supposed to go back, and didn't. a friend of mine, this isn't like 1999, so I'm showing my age here and my grey hairs. A friend of mine worked at Brisbane in internet technology. Big shout out to you, Ben. And he said, hey, Rob, you're not doing anything for the year. Why don't you come and sell dial-up to businesses for the year? You're pretty good with people.
Yeah.
You're a bit tech savvy. Why don't you come do that?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. I spent 15 years in IT sales.
Wow. Yep. There you go.
And when I left, I was the last role I was in before I pulled the pin and wanted to contemplate my navel and do something different for a bit. I was selling international submarine cable capacity. And I was also the first salesperson, at Megaport, which is now a global networking provider listed on the ASX. And yeah, whoa. So
yep.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Did some fun things.
Amazing. So laying cable for, was it submarine?
I was selling submarine cable capacity. Yeah. So obviously the internet,
yeah.
Some of it flows by satellite. Most of it gets to us from different countries.
Yeah.
Via high capacity optic fiber cables that are, you know, 6,000 kilometers yep. long that run across the seabed and up the other side to a repeater station at the other end and into our networks. So yep. That's how we get our Google, because Google comes from the US, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah. Yep.
That's incredible.
So I used to sell capacity here to big telcos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once you finished doing that, you pivoted into which area?
So I quit. I'd had enough of the pressure, and yep. I had a very young family at the time. I just literally just had enough. And this is the end of the year. I was sorry, in January when I resigned, but in December of that year, so it was 2013. My wife at the time and I had and our little kids had spent some time up in Cairns on yep. holidays. And I made the fatal mistake of saying, geez, it'd be nice to live here, while walking along the street at Palm Cove with the kids. And 5 weeks later, we moved to Cairns.
Wow.
Yep. So I just pulled the pin on everything. Just, yep done.
And where were you living prior?
In Brisbane. Chapel Hill. Yeah. So I had a bit of a downward dip for sort of 5 weeks there. I'd never had proper depression in my life, but I had a very, very dark kind of period there for 5 or 6 weeks where I went from really, really high pressure, really in demand, big money, just all the stress of that, to nothing, to school drop off and pick up, and what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was all part of the grand plan, of course, because that's how things came to be. But I did that for, it was like 6 weeks, kind of came out the other end of it. I've actually been hiking for years and years and years, been right through scouts, that sort of thing. And applied for a role at Kathmandu Adventure yep. Store in Cairns. Got the job. That was on like the Wednesday. And on the Thursday, I think it was, I saw a job listing for a digital sales copywriter,
yep.
direct response copywriter. And it was a company in Sydney was advertising. And they said in the ad listing that you could work from anywhere. Just send us, you know, a cover letter, two examples of your work. And you know, that's all you need to apply. And I saw this on the Thursday, and long story short, I spent till about 3 o'clock in the morning the next morning, and I wrote like a 12-page sales letter. You know, one of those long form ones you scroll through and you get really excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought, well, I'm not going to write a cover letter, and I don't have examples of my work, so I'm just literally going to show you what my work looks like
in
a sales letter. I got a call at 8 o'clock that morning, the Friday morning, to say, your sales letter's been passed all around the office. Everyone gave it the thumbs up, you're hired.
I love those.
So, stories. Yeah. So, and then I spent 7 years as a direct response sales copywriter working for a big company in Sydney and a few other digital marketing companies around Australia, and writing for all top brands. And they never saw me. I was, you know, in T-shirts and shorts sitting in, you know, in my Cairns. Little office in Cairns with no shoes on and, you know, in between kids and stuff like that. And I did that for 7 years. So
awesome.
That was really cool. That was really cool.
And so you were, so curious. So was that remote working environment always something that you wanted to pursue, or is it kind of fall in your lap, kind of happenstance?
It was a bit of both.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a bit of both. Like I read a book, I think it was Millionaire Fastlane. excuse me, and of course 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss, the Bible there. And between those two books, which I was reading when I was, you know, doing 50 hours a week and wearing a suit and tie and stressed out of my brains all the time, I was wanting for a better life, definitely. And the opportunity to make reasonably good income on a contract basis, but have a good flow of constant work coming through, all these interesting projects on my own terms and with little kids and stuff, was just gold.
Yep.
So I was kind of doing the whole work from home thing long before WFM became a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily by design, but it worked out quite well.
Yeah. It's funny that, like, it's such a common narrative I find with people that we interview on the show is that, it's not necessarily something that they designed for themselves, but it's things that they perhaps may have visualized through reading books.
I've certainly dreamed about it.
dreamt about it. And it's almost like it's like the law of attraction kind of thing. Like, you know, that's what I would love to do one day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you kind of need to pinch yourself and you go, oh, wait a second,
I'm doing it. There were certainly days, though, where I'd been in the office since 6:30 in the morning and then I walk out of the office at 6:30 and it's gone dark and I realize I haven't kind of left the house all day, which a lot of people, you know, during COVID, especially down here in Victoria, would know what that was like. So, but no, it was good. It was good. Cool. It was nice around little kids and that sort of thing. So,
And so does that mean with the copyright, does that mean that you're there – main copyright person at Study Work Grow?
Copywriting. So just to differentiate, I used to make jokes when I'd go to parties and they'd say, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a copywriter. I put the little C's in brackets at the bottom of people's pages for them. It always went down so well every time.
They're like, oh, really? Really? That's a thing?
That's interesting. No, sorry. I'm a sales copywriter. I write the cool words that you read on the page that actually might you want to buy this random hair dryer that you weren't thinking about buying this morning, but now you've read about it on an ad and now you're buying one.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't part of your plan for the day. That's the sort of stuff I used to do. So we've digressed and now I've lost the question. Sorry, Tyson.
No, you're right. As in, so... Because one of the things I always hear about Study Work Grow is how engaging the content is.
Yeah, the copywriter at Study Work Grow, yes.
And so that's you're the chief copywriter.
Yeah, you could say that. I taught Lucy how to do what we do.
Yep.
What I used to do, and so a lot of the content now, like if it's main sales pages, all the email series, all the stuff that, and we're not too salesy because we don't like to be too salesy with teachers. But we do want to be clear and engaging with them so that they can have a read of our things and go, okay, I could see how this could solve a problem for me. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get this. Like that's my main aim. I have to really tone it down. Not selling water filters or skincare creams or all some of the other stuff I've written about in years. So I do most of the website sales copywriting. So most of the stuff you'll see on ponder.education or studyworkgrow.com.au is all... It's my work.
Yeah, awesome.
But Lucy is an absolute gun with writing content these days. So so she's written all of our materials and some of our website content as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so, mate, when and now, you know, fast forward. Mm-hmm. So copywriting, Nan, you and Lucy, I'm assuming meet and...
Yep.
Yeah, and then Study Work Grow...
Yeah.
Become involved gradually over time?
Or? Yeah, so Lucy was having some time out from working with her dad, who was the original, he kind of kicked things off originally, just a little careers newsletter in New South Wales. And, Lucy came work with me because we were dating and I was absolutely overwhelmed with projects.
Yep.
Like I'd love to take out on a date tonight, hun, but I've got deadlines tomorrow. Like just had so much work on, which is great, especially as a contractor. But so I taught her how to do what I was doing, and we did that for 3 years or something like that together, full time copywriting. Her dad had some health issues and kind of really needed to retire, and you know practice on his golf swing and. She took over things full time, and at the time it was just really a handful of schools and a WordDoc newsletter. That's all it was.
Was it called Study Work Grow then?
No, it wasn't. Yep. It was MHS Careers back then. Yep. Yeah, so it was a really, really little pokey little website. Sorry, Ron. but the website was all pokey, and you know, a handful of schools, and Lucy is just, I can't keep up with her, mate. You've obviously talked to her a few times. She's just,
she's incredible.
Absolute powerhouse. And rebranded as Study Work Grow, and just things have just boomed. Mm-hmm. So there's guides, there's beautiful website, there's online tools, there's, you know, newsletters, there's just, no, you know, the Ponder program, the career clusters, like this, just I can't slow her down.
Yep.
So, yeah, so the, about nearly 3 years ago now, I was looking at her and Sophie and Liz. Hey, Sophie and Liz, on our team, who used to work in our big home office.
Yep.
We had a big separate office space. And I'm seeing the girls struggling, the girls struggling to get more schools and to manage those schools, but creating all this beautiful content and having all this great engagement. Mm. And I'm here doing sales copywriting for some, you know, to sell some sort of random
water
brand
filter.
Of your water filter or laptop bags or whatever. And I'm like, why am I doing project work still when we've got member schools who, a small group of them who love us to bits and pay membership each year? Why am I doing that for?
Yeah.
So I made a career decision. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to jump ship and be Lucy's sales rep, so to speak.
Yeah, cool.
Chief of engagement. So, yeah.
I love that title. It's so cool.
Yeah.
You come up with that yourself, or did Lucy come up with
that? No, we were joking around about what they should call me. I needed a fancy title for my business card, so chief of engagement or whatever it is. So, chief engagement officer, there you go, which also stands for CEO too.
Yeah.
So even though Lucy's a CEO, so. So I've been doing that for the last 2.5 years and loving it. And the more and more I get into it, I mean, just before the podcast started, right, I'm like, I need to do my grad cert. So, sorry, Lucy, I just had to whisper that. So, got to do that, because I'm talking with careers advisors every day. Love it, know their lingo, but probably should get a certification now too. So I'm not the only one with a cert. Yeah, exactly.
It's a rite of passage in careers. Like, it's it's funny, like I was doing a presentation on Monday, because it's National Careers Week too. So
it
happy
is.
National,
happy National Careers Week. Yes, we should have mentioned that earlier. Sorry.
I was doing a presentation at William Anglis, and which is like a hospitality and events TAFE in Melbourne.
Yep.
And one of the crew in the crowd actually that was participating in the workshop came up to me after and said, I'm actually doing my grad cert in careers. I want to make a career transition into careers counselling. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. Like, nice work. Awesome. And she's like, it's a bit boring. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
I'm like, it is. Like, it's a lot of theory. Like, trust me, once you do the theory and you can understand the theory behind the counselling, that's when it all comes to life.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that, you know, is common I hear with career counselors that I talk to, you know, even young people wanting to learn more about careers education and career choices and things like that. And it's like anything. Like, I feel the beauty about, again, Study Work Grow is that, like, it takes theoretical concepts and makes it fun and engaging.
Yeah.
And that's what we try and do with Arrive and Thrive too. Like, we're taking, like, you know, bits of theory that, you know, a professor would go, oh, yes, that's lovely.
Yeah.
But a young person's going to go,
don't care.
Yeah, don't care. So we want to try and make it engaging. And I think that's the beauty of our industry at the moment, is that there seems to just be quite a groundswell of people shaking it up.
Mm.
And that's career counselors as well, going like, okay, well, what we were doing previously is landing, but it's not really working in the modern classroom, the modern student. What I mean modern is in this day and age. And so that's amazing to see, like, people engaging with the Ponder program, Study Work Grow, you know, other platforms that are out there, like stuff that Year 13 do, and then myself, and then, you know, other providers, and schools are kind of going, yeah, this is what we need, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, where do you see the modern day kind of classroom going from what you've noticed talking to all the schools that engage with Study Work Grow?
Yeah, interesting question. I don't think our traditional schooling is going to change dramatically just yet. But I think with the likes of, you know, AI coming out this year with ChatGPT and stuff like that, it's certainly make things interesting. It's certainly, you know, caused a bit of a stir in the education setting. I think the biggest thing really for us is making sure that A, we stay relevant, but B, also making sure that we're providing services, like you mentioned earlier, that are engaging for students and for teachers, so that it's A, easy to use, but B, the students actually go engage with it and actually do something. Whether the standard classroom setting is going to change anytime soon, I don't really know. I mean, I've certainly heard whispers of virtual schools starting to pop up.
Yep.
Because we're in education and we're quite well known these days, or certainly becoming quite well known, we get inquiries from lots of different people who are thinking of starting something up, either a virtual school or some sort of career education service, or want to pick our brains, as they say. So that's, we see lots of different interesting proposals out there for where things are going to go. So
Cool. And, mate, when it comes to, like, the model itself of Study Work Grow, because it's something that I really admire personally, because I think you're definitely onto a winner in terms of having the types of content that you do, the type of community that you're creating, and empowering career counsellors to really spread the message and ensure that ripple effect runs throughout the community, which I think is what careers is about.
Mm-hmm.
From your perspective, like, where is Study Work Grow aiming to like, what's the, is there an end vision in sight? Because for us, we at Arrive and Thrive, our mission is, you know, we just believe everyone deserves to have meaningful and purposeful work.
Yeah.
And that's what drives us. So if, like, a young person walks away from one of our presentations going, oh, I haven't thought about that, maybe that could help me connect more with my purpose in my casual part-time work or whatever it may be, that's a win for us. Because we think if people are more engaged with their work, therefore that's a ripple effect into their mental health, their social connections, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So is there, like, your overarching vision for where Study Work Grow may grow to?
Yeah, may grow to, I like it. Our theme is linking learning with life.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, you know, if students aren't preparing for what comes next, you know, or if high schools aren't preparing students for what comes next, linking with learning with life is where we're coming in and giving them that connection to that big mystery that's over the other side of the fence they can't see, which is, you know, past year 12.
Mm.
And to be able to do that on a global scale, that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
So awesome. As we chatted about just before we kicked off the podcast here, Lucy and I have been given a Trade Investment Queensland grant, or accepted for a Trade Investment Queensland grant this week here in May 2023 to export the Ponder program into the UK, which is just unbelievable.
Congratulations.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Thank you. So UK's first up. We've got some pilot schools in New Zealand already who are testing Ponder, because obviously it's a different educational setting.
Yes.
And I know in New Zealand they certainly do use a lot of Australian education materials, and a lot of their students do have a brain drain, so to speak, where they come over here to Australia to study at university. But exporting Ponder into the UK as a full market, that's really cool. That's our big first next step. Certainly our big first foray internationally. From there, we'd like to expand Ponder out in across a number of English-speaking countries initially. But now with the likes of some of the AI tools, it's really not hard for us to be able to convert our materials into other languages as well. But since we're a small team and there's only so many hours in the day, at the moment we're focusing on the English-speaking country. So Ponder's going to be available in the UK shortly, as well as Canada, USA, Singapore, obviously New Zealand. We are actually thinking now about India as well.
Cool.
And I say that because, slight segue, Lucy was reached out to by the OECD a few months ago, and the OECD had heard about Ponder and they wanted to do a case study on the Ponder program for OECD. So that actually got published. You can actually search it on the OECD website, Ponder program case study. And she was on a webinar earlier this week where they were talking about the OECD case studies, and there's about 20 or something of them on there. And she said the number of educators from the subcontinent that were signing on to the webinar, it just absolutely blew her away. And we had a chat and went, hang on, why haven't we thought of it properly? So we're very, very, very quickly going to be making sure that India is a close part of that expansion group. Yeah, over Fantastic. The next few months, which is really cool. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Because I know they're burning for opportunities over there. Yeah, looking for opportunity. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah,
oh, fantastic. And so, if people want to learn more about Ponder and take a deeper dive on that, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so there's two options. You can either go to studyworkgrow.com.au and our programs are all listed on there. So Explore, there's our standard membership, which is Study Work Grow website access, which is all your bread and butter, your careers news, weekly news, guides, online tools, student, parent access, that sort of thing for your school. And it's like $300 a year. Like it's so inexpensive.
Mm.
So you can find out about it there, or you can go to ponder.education and see the direct website itself. Yep. So, which is also where we've got the career clusters hosted as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. And mate, something we ask all of our guests is, is there a particular book that you feel changed your perspective in your career or in your life for that matter?
I've read a lot of books. I've been a bookworm for a long time, and mostly, I know Lucy gives me crap about it, but mostly been a business books kind of
personal Non-fiction. Development
kind of ones. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 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 Don't do fantasy stories about swords and stuff like that. So, about spaceships. Yeah, sure. I'll read about those. Small Giants was one I read last year.
Yep.
Which was just absolutely fantastic by Bo Burlingham. And Small Giants, it just gave me a bit of a revelation because I read it and growing a small business, you're thinking about what comes next. You're thinking about making sure that, enough cash flow comes in. You know what it's like when you're running your own business, right? There's all those challenges of staff and that sort of thing. And thank God we've got some fantastic staff. Mm. Hey, Liz and Sophie. And Small Giants made me realize that we can be a huge brand without having to be a mega size company.
Mm.
We've been involved in the startup community in Cairns. I've done a lot of speaking about sales copywriting because a lot of small businesses really struggle with writing for themselves, for their own websites. And being around the startup community and seeing, about people getting seed funding and all that sort of stuff, and we've looked at it and went, we're going to stay social enterprise, self-funded by schools.
Mm.
It keeps us clean, cool. It's just going to take us longer. So what? Like, we're all about staying true to our values.
Yep.
Being that social enterprise, reinvesting all our profits into developing new programs. And Small Giants kind of gave me that sigh of relief in that we can do great things. We can have a really big impact. We can grow into what looks like a really big company, but be a small, efficient team that just does things right.
Yeah, I love that.
So, yeah. So yeah, that was a bit of revelation when I read that last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a standout from all the hundreds of business books I've read. So,
have you read Essentialism?
I have seen it and it is on my list.
Yeah. Similar kind of mantra.
Yeah, but no kidding. I mean, last year I got a wine advent calendar for my birthday. So there's a wrapped bottle of wine I could open on the 14th of each month.
Yeah, yeah.
From Valentine's Day onwards. Hey, Valentine's Day people. And good day to have your birthday on. And this year, because we're health conscious and look after myself a bit better, I got a book advent calendar.
There you go.
This is like 14 books wrapped cool in brown paper with a cool note on the front.
Yeah.
So I've actually got to get home because I've been away this week. There's actually one waiting to unwrap when I get home. So yeah, I've always had plenty of books. Yeah. Always had plenty of books. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's such a good point, like being a business owner and then going – like what does growth look like to me that, is still true to my value set is such an interesting question.
Yeah.
And, a mantra that I've been trying, just focusing on myself, because I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes with this, comparison. So I kind of go, oh, man, we've been, 4 years in the game. Maybe we should be doing this, doing that. And with social media, you see – a snippet and you go, oh man, why aren't we?
Yeah.
And so something I've really been trying to double down on is just slow growth is my mantra.
Yeah.
So it's just, you are exactly where you need to be right now.
Yeah.
It's everything happens for a reason, and just making sure that, you set the foundations correctly before you take on that next step of growth.
Absolutely. I think 2 points there you've raised. Books, I mean, books are $20 to $30.
Yeah.
And on Kindle, they're like $12, right? $9, $14.
Yeah.
To be able to get like a billionaire or someone who's run, you know, 15 different startups, to be able to get all of their juicy knowledge condensed into one little tome for $20, like that is so invaluable, but people overlook books all the time.
Yes.
So that's one point. And if you don't like a chapter, skip to the next chapter. So what? Stop getting hung up on reading every single page. That's a new learning I've had in the last year. Cool. It's been revolutionary. The other thing is, like growing a business, we've learned that through, you know, having a look at whether we, you know, even just considering whether we should get funding or not have you or what have you, we've learned that as soon as you get funding or go on that path, you've suddenly got there's different expectations on you.
Yep.
And we just don't want that.
Yeah, totally.
And fair. It means that we have to be different with our schools. Like, I have a Zoom with school and I never give them any pressure. I just like reach out to me when you're ready. Like, there's no pressure. I say that on every single Zoom and, you know, just the peak of meeting this afternoon, I'll be saying the same thing. Mm. Hey, look, this is what we do. If you love it, great, reach out to us. We'll get you on board. If you don't, that's totally cool too.
Yeah,
but there's no pressure.
Yeah.
And I think doing things really, really well and doing things at your own pace, as long as you're staying innovative, you're providing value, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You don't have to compare yourself to others. I've seen so many startups where I'm like, oh my God, we're supposed to have this big, beautiful office with, you know, fancy chandeliers and the coffee cool machines and the cool chairs and stuff. We don't need that crap. Like just, yep. Grow how we grow.
Love it, man.
So, yeah.
And mate, like we do with all of our guests, just got to, the way in which we honour Danny on the show is like plays his segue and then would love to hear what you're roaring about. So I'll play his...
Taco. I'm roaring.
I'm brewing. I'm soaking it up.
Taco, just thought I'd drop you with a little late night surprise for you.
I'm not sure if you can hear the sizzling. I'm just sort of stewing on that.
Thoughts? I'm roaring.
So, Rob, what are you roaring about lately, mate?
Pot plants.
Pot plants. Bit of a green thumb, are you?
Oh, a little bit. Hell, it happens when you're in a farming family. So,
Cool.
Yeah. So,
do Lucy, you propagate Lucy, your own?
Like, yeah, Lucy will hate me for saying this, but I'm forever getting cuttings off our devil's ivy and that sort of thing in the house and finding a new pot to plant a new cutting in.
My wife will listen to this and she'll be like, he is the man. She does that in herself. So
before I moved in, because I moved into Lucy's house, you know, seven odd years ago, and there was no pot plants at all. There's lots of garden outside. I can't keep up with the gardening outside because we're on a hillside. So there's tons.
Yep.
There's like probably 600 square meters of garden that I can't access that I've got to manage. But inside, it's green. It's getting greener by the week. So, fantastic. There you go.
Well, mate, thanks so much for spending the time with me today.
No worries. Thanks for the opportunity, Tyson. It's great to be able to jump on the podcast with you.
It's been awesome. Thanks, mate.
Cool. Thank you.